Welcome to this weekend's In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley. The Bible declares that faith in Jesus makes us new creations in Christ. Let's continue our study of Colossians and see what it says about being fully alive.
Before you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That means that you had no life within you toward God. You are spiritually incomplete because you did not have the Spirit of God within you, no relationship to God. You are morally incomplete because you had no moral standard, and even if you did, you couldn't live up to it. And thirdly, you are mentally incomplete because you are incapable of understanding the truth of God until, first of all, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Then the Bible says, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He made us complete in Him. And having been made complete in Him, God made us fully alive. And that is the title of this message, Fully Alive. And I want you to turn, if you will, to Colossians chapter 2. Because in this passage, we find why that is true. Fully alive. There are many believers who know that they're saved, and yet somewhere along the way, they've never discovered the real joy, never have allowed themselves to experience the joy and the contentment and the pleasure there is in being a child of God. So in Colossians chapter 2, I want us to begin reading in verse 9 and 10, because here's where he states again, we're complete in Him. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete. And He is the head over all rule and authority. And in Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up, and with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When He had disarmed the rulers and authorities, He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Him. Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Now, you look at that passage and you think, what in the world is Paul talking about? If we're talking about being fully alive, and here he is talking about circumcision. So I want you to see, this is a very important passage in our understanding, our relationship to Jesus Christ, and what He has intended for all of us. So the first thing I want you to notice here is this, and that is, what he's saying in this passage is that you and I, having received Jesus Christ as our Savior, and if you'll notice verse 9 of chapter 2, he says, for in Him all the fullness of deity dwells. In Him you and I have been made complete. In Him we were also circumcised. So he's talking about believers. So Paul is talking about the believer's relationship to Jesus Christ. And he says in this passage, first of all, that this new nature which you and I have is illustrated by two aspects here. First of all, a rite, and secondly, by an ordinance of the church. Now, why would he use the rite of circumcision? And you'll recall that circumcision was a rite administered to little Hebrew boys 8 days after their birth. And what he's saying here is this, that for the Hebrew, of course, it was a symbol, a sign that that child belonged to the covenant promise which God had made to the whole nation of Israel, set him apart as a part of the family of God, the nation of Israel. But Paul is using that rite to illustrate something for us that we need to understand as believers. And that is, as the cutting away of the flesh of that child symbolized something to the nation of Israel, so he says there is a circumcision that is made without hands. That is, it is something that God does within the life of a person. Now, what he's really saying here is this, that when you and I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, God cut away, took away the old sinful nature we receive from our parents. That is, all of us were descended of our parents who ultimately were descended from Adam, all of which have been poisoned by an Adamic nature. That is, when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, the whole human race fell. The whole human race suffered the consequences of that sin. So when you and I are born of our parents, we get something. We get an old sin nature that is transferred through them. And what happens is that old sin nature is that which is within us that causes us to choose very early in life as little children to disobey and rebel. God deals with that in salvation. And what he's illustrating here is this. By using circumcision, he says that God has taken out of us, taken away from us, that which was given at birth, an old sinful nature. Now, somebody says, you mean to tell me that my old sinful nature with which I was born has been taken away? It has been taken away. And this is what he is referring to when he says a circumcision, a cutting away, when he says the removal of the body of the flesh. That word in the Greek means a complete removal. God, when Jesus Christ came into our life, did not add a new nature to an old sinful nature so that we are now possessed with two natures. That we have an old sin nature and a new nature. And so on Sunday, when my new nature is in ascendancy, I am obedient. And when on Monday, my old sinful nature is in ascendancy, I am disobedient. Which would imply that I must go through the rest of my life indwelt by two natures which were absolutely and totally diametrically opposed to each other, always fighting and in conflict with each other. That means that I will be harassed all of my life, not from without, but from within. I will have a dual nature from which I can never escape as long as I live. Now, there are some notes in some Bibles that agree with that. It is my personal conviction that that is not true, and I want to show you why I do not believe that once you're saved by the grace of God, you are forever indwelt by an old sinful nature and therefore plagued with both of them the rest of your life. Now, I know what you're asking. You say, wait a minute now. If I have the nature of God, why is it that I still sin against Him? Because even though you and I have a new nature, and the new nature within us is a desire for God. That is, if you have been saved by the grace of God and you have become a partaker of His divine nature, you have a desire to obey God. You love God. You want to walk before Him in obedience. You don't have a desire to be rebellious toward God. A new nature, a new spirit, a new perspective, a new desire, a whole new approach to life. You say, well, I know so-and-so got saved, and that's not true of them. Everybody who says they're saved, not saved. Now, here's the problem. You say, well, if I have a new nature, why do I still feel temptation? And why am I still harassed at times? Because we have a new nature on the inside, but the same old body is the same. And this body has the same natural God-given appetites it had in the very beginning. When you were saved on Sunday and you looked in the mirror on Monday, you didn't see a whole lot of difference because the difference was internal, not external. Now, God has given to mankind appetites for food to keep us alive and for drink. He's given us appetites for sex, for procreation, so forth. He's given us many, many appetites, all of which are essential now. Those appetites are a part of this life. There is in this physical body of ours a disposition. And because this old body of ours, when it gets hungry, it wants to be fed now. That's part of this human makeup of ours, part of this disposition of ours. That's the way the human body is made. And so when you and I choose to gratify our flesh and to satisfy these natural appetites of ours our own way, we yield to this principle Paul calls, this principle that is within us. But to say that is the same thing as an old sinful nature is to imply that my nature is in opposition to God. My nature is rebellious. My nature is sinful. My nature is to be in opposition to God's will for my life. And that is not true. The truth is that I have and you have the nature of God living within us. We have become partakers of His divine nature. And that nature is on the inside of a natural body that still bleeds when it is cut, still has the hunger of the appetites that God has given us. That doesn't mean I necessarily have a sinful nature because we sin against God. This is a world in rebellion toward God. We live amidst sin and rebellion and all kinds of evil forces. But there is a person within us, Jesus Christ, a spirit within us, the Holy Spirit. The very nature within us desires holiness and righteousness and to walk obediently before God. And the person whose desires are sinful and whose very nature it is to gratify the flesh needs to ask himself or herself, have you ever placed your trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you been born again? New life, new spirit, new nature, new whole perspective on life. And what Paul is speaking of here in this comparison is he's speaking about the new spirit that we have, the very nature, and he uses circumcision to talk about cutting away the old, that which is the source of life. Now, he says, this circumcision that you and I have experienced, which is God cutting away the old life and replacing it with something new. You see, the truth is, God didn't patch us up. If he just left us the way we were and simply added something in addition to, then we were what we were, but we have something that made us better than we were, and that's not what the Bible says. You can never be what you were. You have been born again. A new spirit, a new heart, a new nature. It is no longer your inner desire to be disobedient to God because you're a brand new person. Now listen, as long as you see within you and that you will ever be, forever be plagued with this old sinful nature, you'll do exactly what most people do. Well, this old sinful nature of mine is going to be with the rest of my life, and therefore, you know, I just can't help it. That's my nature. Listen, that's what the unbeliever says. It is his nature to rebel against God, his nature to sin against God. You have been relieved and delivered and freed from that. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6 for a moment. And any one of these verses we could just get in and stay in because they're so full. But listen to what he says in Romans 6. The truth is, I want to state the truth of Scripture, then I want to explain it for just a moment. In Romans 6, verse 6, he says, knowing this, not hoping this, not thinking about it or considering, but knowing this, that our old self, that is what we were before we were saved, our old self, he says, was crucified with Christ, that our body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Now, let me explain something. The Bible says that when Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago on the cross, God placed upon him not only our sin, but he says he placed on that cross every single one of us. That is, when he died, we died to our old life. That when he was buried, we were buried. That when he arose, we arose. And that together we have resurrection life living within us. Now, that becomes an actual reality in your life and mine the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. We don't feel that. Most of us didn't even know that's what happened, but that's exactly what Paul says in several ways. He says, we've been crucified. When he died, we died. What did we die to? Old life. We were buried to it, rose to walk in newness of life, and as he says here in Colossians, he says, we have togetherness life with him. We are resurrected together with him. We have his life within us. All through here, he says, Christ is our life. Christ living within us. The old life has passed away. Behold, everything has become new. Everything on the inside new, everything on the outside just like it was. Because in our brain we have those pre-programmed thoughts that were taught us from the time we were in our mother's arms, things that other people said to us that lodged in our thinking. We were programmed years and years and years before we ever went to school. We were taught and programmed. And much of that with which we have been programmed is still there. And so what happens is we come through life with all of these preconceived notions and ideas and thoughts Jesus Christ comes into our life. We have a new nature. And so what happens? The struggle is that this new nature within us no longer desires what we used to want. And this outward body of ours still has the same appetites, but our new nature is now in the process of bringing those natural God-given appetites under reign into their proper place and into their proper expression. That's why when he says in the message before, he said, don't let anybody take you back to the old simple principles, to the rudiments, when you were acting like you used to live. That is, once you've been delivered from the power and the reign of sin in your life, don't go back tampering with that, tampering around with what you know is going to destroy you when you have already been delivered from that. And you see, Paul is writing this in order to refute the false teachers who were telling them, it's all right to have Jesus, but that's not enough. You've got to have legalistic forms, and circumcision must be a part of it for these people who've been converted, these Jewish believers. And so what he's saying is, listen, you're complete in Christ. No physical rights going to make you right before God. Nothing you add to salvation. You can't be good to deserve it. And so what he's speaking of here is that God has done something in your life and my life. Now, I understand that many people do not understand what the Bible says when he speaks of co-crucifixion, co-burial, co-resurrection. Turn back to Colossians chapter 2, because all of these terms are here. And in each one of these Greek words, the three little letters that preface these words, S-U-N, mean together with. Listen, go to verse 12. He says, we were buried with him in baptism, co-burial. He says, we were raised up with him, co-resurrection, when we were dead in our trespasses or transgressions. And he says, we were made alive, that is, we were quickened together. Everything is with him, in him, Christ in us, everything in relationship to him. Why? Because when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to say again, as I've said Sunday after Sunday, it is Christ coming to live his life within your life and mine in our spirit, giving us a new nature. And that's why he says, behold, all things have become new. That verse would never be in the Bible if we had an old sin nature still ruling and reigning. Listen, the message of the scripture is that you are a new person. You are indwelt with the living Christ. He who is within us enables us to live without submitting to that sin. The message of scripture is that you have Christ living in you. It is no longer your nature to dwell in these kind of activities that the world dwells in. We don't think that way. Why don't we think that way? We have a new mind. We have a new nature. And what Paul is saying is, you're complete. This is how complete you are. He has replaced your old nature with a brand new nature. It is the nature of God, indwelling a physical, human, fleshly body with its natural appetites and dispositions to want its needs met immediately. But reigning within us is the Holy Spirit, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so he says, we have a new nature. But he illustrates that a second way, if you'll notice, in verse 12. He says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Now, he says, first of all, I illustrate this new nature by the rite of circumcision. Secondly, by baptism. We're talking about the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit when he says in 1 Corinthians, he baptizes us into Christ. That is, he makes us a part of the life and the body of Christ. What happens is this. When a person is baptized, that person is saying, I have died to my old way of life, buried with Christ, risen to walk a new kind of life. Now, when a person goes through the baptismal waters, they are personally proclaiming what has happened, that they have died to the old way of life. They have been baptized in the person of Jesus Christ. That is, they're buried with him and rising to walk a new kind of life. Therefore, we have the right to expect that person to live a whole different lifestyle because they aren't the same person they used to be. What is it that died? The Bible says Jesus crucified. He didn't just die. He crucified the old life. That's what you were, the old sinful nature. Now you have a new nature, new heart, new spirit, new outlook, new perspective, new desires. Why? Because you are indwelt by the very nature of God himself.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast titled Fully Alive. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or InTouch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of InTouch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.